verses 1 through 4. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you.
And yesterday was the 65th anniversary of D-Day, the Normandy invasion. You undoubtedly saw a lot, heard a lot on the news about that. The president's address, the veterans of that era, those who could, those who were still alive, who made it to that event, along with so many others. It reminded me, in a way, of 42 years ago, when I was first in Vietnam, and something of what those who made that embarkation on those beaches of Normandy must have been thinking at that point in time. You're far from home for a long time. You can't wait to hear from home. One of the things that was so important to us as we were away from home, both here in the States and then across the ocean, was to get mail from home, to get a tape from home, to get a goodie box from home. Anything from home meant a lot. And when the mail call came and you didn't have something from home, it was a letdown. You didn't expect something every day. You knew that just wasn't realistic. But it sure was nice to get something every other day or every third day, certainly every week. You looked forward to anything at all, whether it was a postcard or a letter or a tape or those boxes with cookies that had been homemade. Well, Bruce, they were just in crumbles, weren't they? You kind of poured them into your hand. But it was from home. It was from home, and that's really what counted. Most of all, you looked forward to going home, especially if you'd been in the military or if you've been in jail. If you've been any place that's not like home, that's when you know how precious home is. Home generally evokes warm feelings like home is where the heart is. There's an old song that says, be it ever so humble, there's no place like home. And beginning usually around about Thanksgiving Day, we start hearing a whole group of songs that go from Thanksgiving Day to Christmas Day and then suddenly end. And amongst those songs is the song called There's No Place Like Home for the Holidays. Samuel Johnson said that home is the part of the world where people know when you're sick, miss you when you die, and love you while you live. Anne Douglas remarked, home is an invention on which no one has yet improved. And I suspect that most of us could say a hearty amen to that. We don't think much about home until we don't have one. I remember as a teenager, my dad and I didn't get along together. We didn't talk for 2 years. And things got a little bit better my first year in college, but really, I think the culmination point was when he saw me get on that bus and leave for staging to go to Vietnam. And things began changing then. You know, things weren't great, they weren't right. But I'll tell you what, when I came home the first time and sat down in that small apartment in that easy chair where it was quiet and where I didn't have to worry about standing guard duty every night, where I didn't have to worry about somebody shooting at me or throwing grenades at me or mortars or rockets or artillery, it sure was nice to be home. Home took on a whole different meaning at that point. And a lot of you understand that very well. Suddenly, I thought about how valuable home was. More and more people today because of our economy, don't have a house or an apartment or even a room to live in. And that makes it hard to have a home. If we have a conventional place to live in, we're more blessed than we may realize. But at the same time, a house is not a home. A home is a place of family. And because of that, more than anything else, there is no place like home. Genesis chapter 35 and verse 27 gives a telling insight into what makes a home. It says, Jacob came home to his father Isaac in Mamre, near Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had stayed. Home was where his father lived and where his grandfather had lived. It was the area that three generations had called home. And the Bible continually speaks of home in this way. Home may have been the tent of a wandering shepherd. Home may have been a conventional house. Or home might have been even a palace. It may have been a place like the Promised Land. Or it may have been the gathering of a household, a family who were related to each other by blood and marriage, along with servants and other friends. But home and family go together. God promised King David, I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own. Home is our place. As close as we may be to certain friends, even as close as we may be to certain relatives, those places aren't home. Those places may be places of warmth and places of nurture, places we enjoy going to, places where there's a great deal of enjoyment to be had in a variety of ways, but they're not home, because home is our place. To this day, among the Jews, there is no place for them like home, Israel. When work is done, when war is over, people go home to family. Going home to aloneness is not found or imagined in the Bible. Pope John the 23rd succinctly and biblically identified family as the first and essential cell of human society. I like that. The first and essential cell of human society. But I also like what Carson McCullers said when he captured the relationships of family so well, and even more briefly, saying, family is the we of me. It implies a whole host of things. We know these things without even someone teaching us or telling us this. They're things that are just part of us. It's what we grow up knowing and feeling and wanting. As husbands and wives, we create an environment in our homes by way of our attitudes and our actions and our practices. It's reflected in how we keep our house and our property and even ourselves. Our children are shaped by all of this. It has nothing to do with the place in the sense of what the house looks like or how large or small it is or how fancy or how simple it is or what part of town it's in. It has nothing to do with those things that have to do with place, but it has everything to do with people. And all of that raises a question for you and I who have a home of our own, and that is, what are our homes like? Proverbs verse 3, or chapter 3 and verse 33 says, the Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. I find the wording within that short verse, that single sentence, to be very interesting and telling. The house of a wicked person is different from the home of a righteous person. Did you notice that God inspires the writer to talk about this place where a wicked person lives, not as a home, but as a house? If you were raised in a place, in a house, whatever that house might have been, even if it was an apartment, whatever it might have been, that was an ungodly place where ungodly things happened. You may have thought about it as your home because you had nothing else. But it really wasn't a home as home is defined, was it? At the same time, the place where righteous people live, where God is honored and God is followed and God is held up, that's a home. Wicked people curse their homes, but righteous people bless their homes. God intends our homes to be places of prayer and worship, places of hospitality, places where God is at the center of everything, places where our families are united with God. Jesus' parents showed family and home as God intended, and at the same time, as you and I so much desire, even if we've never put it into words, we've put it into our minds. Think about these things. In Matthew chapter 2 and verses 13 through 23, we read about Jesus' parents, Joseph and Mary, sacrificing their security and their comfort by leaving their home, their family, and their friends, and escaping to Egypt in order to save their infant son. Luke chapter 2 and verses 41 through 52 tells of Jesus' parents desperately searching for their missing 12-year-old son in Jerusalem because they loved and valued him. He was an important part of their family. And I would suggest to you that even though they had been told who Jesus would be, that if he had not been that, if they had not been told that, they still would have searched for him desperately, seeking him out because they loved and valued him. But it also later in the chapter tells us about the nurturing that his parents gave him in their home as a part of their family when it says Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. You know, those things don't just happen. There's no osmosis about that. It doesn't just kind of come with the kid. It has to be taught. It has to be developed. It has to be trained. It has to be nurtured. And there has to be a foundation of love and value to bring all of that about. In Mark chapter 3 in verses 20 through 21, and then again in verses 31 through 35, we read about Jesus' mother and brothers hearing of Jesus going without food because he was so earnestly involved in his pursuit of God's will. They thought that Jesus must be out of his mind, that he just worked too hard and he had lost it. And so they go to take charge of him, Scripture says, and obviously to take care of him and to bring him home. Because that's what happens at home. We take care of people. We love people. We bring them back from ill health, whatever that ill health may be, whether physical or emotional. Home is the place it happens. Home is to be a place of safety, of peace, of rest, of joy, of satisfaction, of encouragement, of teaching, of training, of learning, of birth, and finally, of death. Isaiah 32 verse 18 tells us that God's intent is for his people to live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. Man, I'll tell you, when I came home the first time from Vietnam, I was driving down the street in my car, and another car backfired. I almost put my car up on the sidewalk. I did. All I could do to keep it off the sidewalk. I was so intent on getting back to my parents' apartment, it was quiet and peaceful and undisturbed and restful. That was what home was. Man, I had looked forward to that for months. That 10,000 miles between Vietnam and California just couldn't be covered fast enough to get home. Some of us didn't come from a God-honoring home. And in some of our homes, God's intentions for home were perverted. If you came out of that kind of home, you had no control over it, but you do have control over your home. Each of us should hear God speaking through Ring Lardner's statement when he says, "The family you come from is not as important as the family you are going to have." You know, some of us walk around with kind of the leftovers. We call it the baggage of the things that happened to us when we were kids and attitudes that we developed and insecurities and you know, all kinds of things that kind of hold us back. But we let them hold us back, don't we? Sometimes we go to counselors and try to work through them, and sometimes that's successful. And sometimes we resist the counselor's effects because somehow we've kind of found our identity in those things that hold us back. It's kind of our reason for being. And we shoot ourselves in the foot right and left. But Lardner's words are true. They're godly. The family you come from is not as important as the family you're going to have. That's true for you young people who do not yet have a family and a home. But it's also true for you whose children are still at home. When we consciously build our home to be what God intended it to be, our families will say at some point, there is no place like home. God wants our physical homes and families to reflect what He is like as a father and what life in His family is like. He loves us as His children because He created us in His image. He has always wanted us to have a loving and obedient relationship with Him. Out of His unimaginable love, God's Son Jesus sacrificed Himself for our sins so we could be adopted into God's family, the family of believers. Just before His death, Jesus told His followers in John chapter 14, and in verses 1 through 4, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in Me. In My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with Me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Where was Jesus going? After His 33 years or so here on this earth, Jesus was going home. He was going back to that place where His Father lived. He was going back to that place where He was unquestionably loved and supported. And He wanted those that He loved here to be part of that family of His and His Father's and to live with them in their home forever. In verse 23 of that same chapter, He says, "If anyone loves Me, he will obey My teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." There is no place like home with Jesus Christ and His Father God. All of the best things we could ever hope for in home and family, all that God intends for that to be, are in His home. There's nothing like having them make their home with us. And they have done their part. Our part is to love them and to obey them, so that we can go home to our real home, the place God always intended for us to be forever, in His family, in His home with them. Do you love and obey them? Do you believe that Jesus is God's Son who died to free you from your sins? Do you believe that He rose from death and will return to take believers home with Him? Do you believe that you must repent of your sins and confess Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Do you believe that you must be baptized to be cleansed of your sins and united with Jesus so that you can be in His family and live in His home with Him forevermore? If you haven't taken that step, If you haven't yet expressed your belief in that and your desire to be part of that, this may be the best time of your life, the best moment of your life. We have no guarantees. Why not take that step this morning? Why not secure your place with your spiritual family and your spiritual home forever by coming forward right now as we stand and sing this song?